did not expect to be quite this emotional this morning. But I am so grateful. I pulled the bulletin from March 15th, 2020. Two whole pages of how to wash your hands, wear your mask, and stay socially distant. We learned how to sign the peace because we knew we couldn't pass it. And there was in that bulletin a meditation, Mr. Newman, that you read at the deacon's a week or so before, and it spoke about walking through uncertainty, how little we knew, how prescient we were. And so my heart swells with joy for being back today. But beloved, we still don't know what's next. And I just wonder if that question was weighing hard on the hearts of Joshua and those whom we meet in the third chapter of the book that bears his name. They don't know what's next either. Elaine is right. If you go back to the biblical book before Joshua, you get Deuteronomy. And in the very last chapter of Deuteronomy, in chapter 34, here's what happens. Moses, who has led them out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, through the wilderness, for 40 years, Moses and the people of God get to the point by the Jordan on the other side of the Jericho, and they can see the promised land. But here's what happens to Moses. God sends him up to the top of Mount Pisgah. And God shows him the land from Gilead to Dan, from Manasseh and Ephraim. And the text says all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. God shows Moses this land and then says, but you will not get to go. And the very next thing that happens in Deuteronomy 34 is that Moses dies. Then we arrive in the book of Joshua. Joshua, who was Moses' lieutenant, but Joshua is an untried leader. Let's review the circumstances. Moses is dead, and God says to Joshua, my servant, Moses is dead, it's your turn. They are standing at the bank of the Jordan. They are looking out at a land they don't know. There's no map, there's no GPS, and nobody they know has ever been there before. They have spent 400 years in slavery. They don't even remember what freedom looks like. And now, the text is clear. They are standing at the edge of a raging river. And the Jordan at high tide would be 3 times the length of this sanctuary, and at least as high as the roof line in this sanctuary. They are standing at the edge of a raging river, and God tells them to cross. This has got to be a time of joy and pain. They are joyful. They're no longer in captivity, but there's pain. Because the moment they cross this Jordan, they are going to leave behind everything they know. Even though it was slavery, it was familiar. It's got to be a time of hope and doubt. They can hope that the God who's promised them this land is still with them, but they've got to doubt how they're going to get there. If they're standing at the place along the Jordan across from Jericho, they're looking at a city that is dazzling and walled. And it's got to be a time of opportunity and fear. Is this the moment that God will really bring us out of this generation upon generation upon generation of slavery into freedom? This is our opportunity, but we don't know what's next. And psychologists will tell you today that the greatest fear we can bear in our bodies is the fear of the unknown. They do not know what is next. And beloved, This is where the story of Joshua and the people of God at that river reminds me of us. We do not know what's next. Yes, yes, we have made it through this year. Like the people of Israel, we have come out of a time of captivity, not to a nation like Egypt, but to a virus who our eyes cannot even see. We have come out of a time when we have been walled off and isolated, unable to move as we would like the people of Israel. We've come out of a time when we could not worship the way we wanted like the people of Israel. We've come out of a time when fear guided our every day. We didn't know what to touch, how often to wash our groceries, who we could let in our homes. We even knew that going to the doctor when we were sick was to take a gamble. Like the people of Israel, we have been boxed in and locked out and isolated and without all the things we needed to live a normal life. Just like the people of Israel, we must be in this place. We've come through this place of pain and doubt and fear. And we also see hope. Hope that the vaccine will really take root and that we will, by, what did the president say, the 4th of July, maybe have a moment of normalcy. It's a place of opportunity where we can begin to move back into our lives and even, oh God, a place of joy. When we might hug somebody that we've longed to hug. Grandparents might see grandchildren. My granddaughter's mother called me the other day and said, if you want to come after you're vaccinated, please do. I've not seen my sweet granddaughter in many, many months. So like the people of Israel, we have come through, but this is where their story helps me, because we still do not know what is next. For you see, when Joshua turned to these people, he saw the raging river. He'd been on the other side, because it's chapter 2 when he goes off to hang out with Rahab a little bit. But he also knows how fortified and how strong that city is. He knows that they're not going into land that is uninhabited. So I'm imagining Joshua's fear is even higher. He didn't really know what was next. But here's what he did know. That land that had been promised to Moses was in God's legacy for this people. What he did know was that the promises of God had kept the people of God for eons and eons. What he did know was to go before God. So a little before the part that Elaine began to read, Joshua goes before God. And God tells Joshua three things. God tells Joshua to follow after the things of God. What he says to Joshua is, tell the people that the priests are going to lift the Ark of the Covenant. And the moment they put their feet in this raging river, the people should follow them. Follow after the things of God. If you read the story, you'll find when the priests put their feet in the river rolls up, not unlike the Red Sea, and the people cross on dry land, following after the things of God. And what does that mean, Zena? They lift up the Ark of the Covenant, and in the Ark of the Covenant, there are three things, the writer of Hebrews tells us. There are the tablets that Moses brought down from the mountain. There is a jar that held the holy manna that did not run out while they were on their way through the Exodus. And there was a tree limb divorced from the tree but still budding. A tree limb that Aaron held up before Pharaoh to show Pharaoh that God could bring life out of death. That's what's in the Ark of the Covenant. Joshua tells them, follow the things of God. And Joshua tells them to consecrate themselves, to wash themselves, to ready themselves, to set themselves apart for the things of God. And then Joshua tells them, when you get on the other side, build a monument. Take 12 stones and build a monument. blood, we don't know what's next. But Joshua's story is so powerful for us. First thing that we learn is we follow after the things of God. God's word tells us in the New Testament that you and I are supposed to love. That is our highest goal. The Apostle Paul tells us that we bear one another's burdens, and in doing so, we fulfill the law of Christ. Paul tells us that God will know we are in line with his teachings when our lives bear fruit, love and joy and peace, gentleness and kindness and self-control and patience and temperance. Follow after the things of God, beloved. Follow after those things like the Ten Commandments, but we now have a greater commandment, love. Follow after the things of God, those things that nourish your soul, that manna kept them alive, it nourished their very being. Follow after the things that nourish your soul. For some, it's going to be quiet. For some, it's going to be activity. For some, it's going to be engagement. For some, it's going to be simple prayer. Follow after the things of God that nourish your soul, and follow after the things of God, believing that God will bring life out of death. There's been so much death in this pandemic, but God can bring life out of death. We celebrate that each Lord's Day, and we celebrate it on Easter. Do not give in to the despair that has surrounded us, because like that limb that Aaron lifts up and it buds, even though it's not connected to the source, the things in our lives will bud, will green, will grow again. Follow after the things of God and then consecrate yourself. What is it, beloved, that brings you before God? What is it, beloved, that brings you into the presence of God so that you can be shaped by God? I am clear. It is music. And Natalia, it's your music. Every week we send you the prelude and the anthem in an MP3 in the flesh. And there is not a week that passes that I don't find some quiet space to click on that link, thank you, Sandy Schroeder, so that I might be in the presence of God, and the dome over me is that music. What sets you aside for God? Joshua told them, follow after the things of God and consecrate yourselves. Set yourselves up to be in the presence of God and then build a monument. Now I want to be really clear about this cairn of stones. Did you hear? Joshua said, when your children ask you about these stones, tell them that God stopped the flow of the Jordan. When I read that in preparation for this sermon, I first got an attitude. I wanted the stones to be like the cairns we've talked about before. I wanted the stones to be a pointer. I wanted them to show me the way through Jericho that would be safest. I wanted the stones to point forward, but the stones did not. God said to Joshua, tell your children about what God has already done. Beloved, what lesson these stones? The lesson that these stones offer us is to stop and to look back over this last year and to realize how blessed we have been, to realize what God has already done. During the season of Epiphany, I asked you to tell me what you were learning in 2020, and you said, I need to slow down and take time to reflect on my life. You said, I need to not take normal for granted. You said, I learned that hugs and smiles are more valuable than anything I can buy. You said, I have an even a greater appreciation for those in essential positions. And the Athmans, I'm just going to name them. You said, you've been singing one day at a time, sweet Jesus. One day at a time. Beloved, what lesson these stones. Joshua's people looked back on how God had kept them over 400 years. Joshua's people looked back on how God had kept them for 40 years in the wilderness. Joshua told his people to look back and to remember that God had dried up the Jordan. When you look back, when I look back over the year, what lesson these stones? For if we do not learn, if we do not take in from the year that is just past, if we do not deepen our understanding of what is essential and how blessed we are and what can grow out of disaster, I fear we will live the lessons until we learn them. What lessons these stones? Thank you, Joshua. I wanted God to point us forward, but in this moment, as the people of Israel cross over the Jordan, as they get ready for the rest of their journey, you remind them to look back and to learn. Beloved, it's been a year like no one living has known, but it has been a year that has taught us much. Come. Come to the banks of the Jordan with the people of Israel. Come and look back over your shoulder at all God has brought you through. Mark this moment, this 1 year moment. And then, with the power of God's promise ringing in your ear, this is your land. It is for you and has been for the generation. With the promise of God ringing in your ear, I will bring you those who will guide you. With the promise of God ringing in your ear, as Elaine said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Go. Go forward into this future that is new and different. Go forward with those lessons in your being. Go. For the God of all creation goes ahead of us. Go. For the God of all creation has a plan and a purpose for our lives. Go. And know that you go not alone, but as part of this community of believers. Beloved, it's time. Stones have taught their lesson. Now may we take them and go. God, there's no raging river between us. No raging river that has walled up and made dry ground. But gracious God, there are miracles all around us. We thank you. We thank you that we are here 1 year later. We thank you for the lessons we've learned. We ask you to deepen in us those lessons that we might use them for the good and the glory of your name and the rising up of your kingdom. We give you thanks and we bless your name. Jesus, be with us as we walk every step of the way. This we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.